This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
Hey man, good morning. Okay, I got to tell you something. I've been hanging out at a black church for the last couple of days, and when you say good morning, hey, there's some liveliness. Come on, say amen. Here's what I want to say most of you don't even know me, but I feel at home. I went to Taylor University in Indiana. Did you consider Taylor? Don't worry, they're not paying me to do this. But here's what I want to say is when I went to Taylor University, I had a president there. His name was Dr. Jay Kessler. The guy lived and breathed the gospel. And I had a chance to study under him and learn under him. And he poured into me. And when I see your president here, I see a lot of similarities. I just want to say be thankful that you have leadership that's willing to engage the community for what it's really about, folks. I'm from Indiana originally, and when I was going to school, I owned a coffee shop for 2 years. It's called The Jumping Bean. It was my junior and senior year when I graduated. I got married to my wife. Her name is Laura. She's from the Twin Cities. And after I graduated from college, I had no clue what I was going to do. None. So I moved to Nashville, Tennessee, and I'm only telling you the story because the Lord confirmed 3 things for me this morning of that I am supposed to be here. One was Dr. Jones. The second one is there is a man up there, he was a musician, he was talking about he's coming to the area. When I moved to Nashville, Tennessee, I actually did a Bible study with a bunch of teens in Nashville in that guy's barn. But you see, I didn't know what I was going to do when I graduated from college, except I was listening to the Lord, I was asking for guidance. I'm just going to encourage you, be patient. In college, we love to try to figure it out, don't we? Well, my mom and my dad are asking me, it's okay, just be patient. The third thing that I felt like was a confirmation is that after I got out of Nashville, I went to school in Dallas, I went to seminary there, and I went there because of my time in Nashville, but from Dallas, I went to city after city, and then I was in this little town called Sedona, Arizona. It's New Age capital of America, folks. And when I was there, the other musician that he was referencing was there singing with us in a youth center before anybody really even knew this guy. And my point of this whole story is that when you leave, sometimes all that's going to carry you, and it should carry you, is just your desire to serve the Lord. I was a business major. I worked with professional athletes. And the Lord took all of that away. So just take the pressure off yourselves. And you don't have to figure it out. And I tell you that because the story that we're going to talk about, Dr. Jones said one thing to me and I changed my message for this morning. So I sent you guys some chapters and scriptures that we're supposed to talk about. You can put that on the CD label, but we're not talking about it. Okay, so having said that, Lord, I just pray for this morning. And I'm asking that the Holy Spirit just speaks to the hearts today. Lord, I know what the universities are like, the Christian colleges. And Lord, I'm just asking that this morning, they're hoping to hear what you want to say to them in a refreshing way. Many of them are getting ready to go on fall break. And I'm asking that you just breathe life into them today. Some of them are faculty. Some of them are staff. Some of the folks here have worked 23 years. I'm asking that you fill every one of them up with the Holy Spirit today. Speak truth into them today in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would, open up your text to Acts 8. I was going to talk about praying and fasting, and the Lord just said, nope, take it one step further for this group. This group's more ready than what I thought. I had a nationally syndicated radio program for 4 years in Dallas. And one of the things they always told me about the listeners in Dallas is that whenever you made a call to action, the listeners in Dallas, more so than any city in the United States, they would respond. So if I'm on the radio and I'm talking to people, I had an audience in Santa Fe or an audience in San Francisco, if I would make a call to action based on the scriptures, I'd have to have 4 more radio programs before they could get it. If we said it in Dallas, they would get it. Does that make sense? It meant they were ready. And all I can say is that I feel like, and based on what Dr. Jones said, this group is ready. Folks, in no other city than I've ever seen, Columbia is more ready for revival than I've ever seen in any city. That's really weird to me because when I came into Columbia, I wasn't expecting that. I just thought I would be a good old Southern Baptist mentality, let's come together, Jesus movement. And it's much more than that. There's a depth that wants to see Jesus changing this community. And in fact, behind your screen, I think you actually have a statement, do you not? To know Him and to make Him known. I walked in here after I met with Dr. Jones and I spent some time on my knees with HL and Janie back here and we prayed. And this little flyer that's behind the screen impacted Revive Columbia, that's what we put down as our motto. I believe this campus is ready, but what happens is in college and even in the church, a lot of us have a desire. We just simply don't know what to do for the next step. And in Acts 8, I believe the Lord shows us just tangibly, what does that look like? And if you look, there's a guy named Philip. Philip's background, just so you guys know, he was a deacon. He was really good at serving. In fact, he was appointed as one of those guys who was to take care of the stuff that really the other guys didn't want to do. So he felt like his gifts was of service, but all of a sudden, God just comes in and He just changes the direction. Are you with me? How does that work, Dr. Jones? If you say something, they don't respond. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Acts 8 is where we're at. If you would, look at verse 25. 25 says, so when they had solemnly testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they started back to Jerusalem and were preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. Somebody want to shout out for me? Who are the three people that at least that we know they're talking about? Who are they? They're going back. Who are they? Peter, John, and Philip. Peter, John, and Philip, three guys that we know of for sure. Peter, John, and Philip, Scripture says they had solemnly testified, they had spoken the word of the Lord, and they're on their way back to Jerusalem. Everybody just say Jerusalem, please.
Jerusalem.
They're on their way back to Jerusalem. Three guys are doing this. And as they're going back to Jerusalem, it says they're going through the villages of who? The Samaritans. You got to know culture. Culture is the big thing. If you want to see revival come to your city, you got to break the norm. It's no longer the mentality of this is how we need to do it. No, it's what is the Spirit of God asking me to do? Three guys, Peter, John, and Philip, are breaking the norm and they're going to the villages of the Samaritans who really in their eyes shouldn't deserve the gospel, but they're taking the gospel to them anyway. The Samaritans are the outcasts. And in fact, we are actually hosting Revive Columbia for 7 days. All we're doing is praying and fasting. We're asking the Lord, show us how do we reach this community? And in the evening, we're meeting in a place called Eau Claire. You guys are very familiar with this. I've heard from a couple churches, why are you meeting in Eau Claire? You see, the church has a mentality, whether we like it or not, we categorize people, even if it's the church in another neighborhood. The gospel is meant for everybody. Peter, John, and Philip are going. They're on their way back. They're on a mission, right? They have their quote-unquote major. They know where they're headed. And in the process, God's using them. As He's using them, look at the text in verse 26. But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip. I just have to ask, do you think that an angel can still come and minister to us today? Absolutely. You look forward to it. A role of an angel, let's just make sure we're all clear biblically. The role of an angel is to minister to us to help further the kingdom of God. It's for God's glory. An angel shows up to Philip, and the next thing you know, some changes are beginning to happen in his own life. And he said to Philip, get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road. When I left my business major, I graduated, and I was offered part ownership of one of the most successful sport companies that is there today. In fact, it's the 39th floor of downtown Dallas. And God said, I don't want you to go down that road. And in fact, when you graduate from college, I want you to deliver papers for the USA Today. So at 3 a.m, that was my desert road. God called me somewhere else. My intentions were right, but God said, no, I want you to go a different way. And I went down what was called a desert road in my life. My first year of marriage was incredible. My occupation-wise was awful. I delivered for three to five months for the paper, and then I moved up, and then I delivered dry cleaning for 7 months. Every time you would see a country musician, I actually delivered their dry cleaning to them. It was really weird. But my point is are you open to when the Spirit of God says, I want you to go this way, that you'll change direction? And the only reason that you wouldn't is pride. Well, I've told somebody that this is what I'm going to do. I got to stick to it. No, you don't. I paid rent with my wife for the first year in quarters. You know, USA Today, you put the slots in and now it's all cards. It's changed. That makes me feel old. I'm not that old. I do have four kids, though. Listen to this. Verse 27. 8-6. They're 8-7. 5 and almost 2. 3 girls and a boy. I got my boy. Praise the Lord. All right. Okay. So we got 3 guys. Then angel of the Lord shows up to Philip. He has a choice. Does he want to respond or not? And I love this. In verse 27, it says he got up and he went. It doesn't say, I want to make this clear. It's not that I don't want you to seek counsel. But I think when we hear from the Lord, we kill the spirit and we process it to death. Was that God? I don't know. Give me a week. Give me 2. And then you missed it. Respond when God speaks to you. When he prompts you to go share to a 70-year-old guy, you do it. Even if you're uncomfortable. Revival will break out in Columbia and at CIU when you begin to break the norm. I went to a Christian campus, and trust me, for a whole semester at my coffee shop, I went into a closet that had coffee beans and syrup. I don't even like coffee. And I prayed for revival at Taylor University. And for 3 months, every day, it kept growing. It started with 1 guy, and then it went to 3 guys, and then it went to 15 guys. After 3 months, we had 300 people outside these chapel walls. And we were praying that God would break the norm. It changed my life. The only reason you won't respond to God is maybe you're not sure that that's God. And you're saying, well, how do I know? I'm going to tell you, this will help you. Philip knew when he heard from the Lord. It says he got up and he went. But then all of a sudden, since I was in the radio world for another, you have another whole scene. Over there is Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, right? Or there's Philip, and over here is the Ethiopian eunuch. It's like God is setting the stage. And you have an Ethiopian eunuch, one man, and I love this, and it says, a court official of Candace, a queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all of her treasure, and he had to come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah. Now here's what's really unique about this. Who were the 3 guys going to originally when they were going back to Jerusalem? The Samaritans, right? Here you have somebody that's completely opposite. Somebody that's interacting in the wealthy world. Somebody that's actually of status. You see, the gospel is for everybody. Don't just go to the down and outers. You got to go to everybody. And Philip had this understanding, and there's a eunuch who is ripe to receive Jesus. And I love this. In verse 29, then the Spirit said to Philip, I don't know, you guys, if this was audible. I don't know what this looks like. I just know Philip was very clear. He knew what he heard. And the scripture says, go up and join this chariot. The Spirit of God told him to go up and join. Look at the next verse, verse 30. How did he respond? How did he respond? He ran. When's the last time you went running because you heard the Lord tell you to do something? Most of us in the church, and I say this generally, I've been in Seattle, I've been in San Francisco, I've been in Devil's Lake, North Dakota, I've been in Dallas. These cities are asking us all over the United States. And the reason that we're not seeing revival is people aren't running. You'd rather sit and watch somebody else out there say, well, somebody else will tell them about Jesus. When the church begins to embrace Christ in their life, to know Him and to make Him known, you'll see revival. In fact, I was at a Wiener Schnitzel. It's not a bad word. It's a business. It's a fast food chain, and I was at a Wiener Schnitzel outside of Richmond, California. Really? You're from Richmond? L.A., California. It's not even that close, but just so you know, it's all right. Thank you. All right, so all of a sudden, I'm getting ready. I ordered 5 corn dogs, okay? And I hear the Lord say to me, run. Now, there was a dude across the street, 4 lanes over. He's got this white tank top on. He's got this beanie cap, and he's got a long skateboard. And he is just flying. And I looked at the guy with me, and I go, hey, God just told me to run. And he goes, run. And we always have a video guys with us. And this guy, I just said, okay. So I ran across the street. I avoided all the traffic. And then the other video guy, he's running this way. So now we got everybody. And this guy doesn't even know what's coming. Deontay can't even hear me. I'm yelling everything. I promise you, you need to know something. I just couldn't see like what ethnicity was. So I was just trying everything. So I was like, hola, he's not Spanish. And then it looked bad because it was a white guy chasing a black guy yelling. I mean, it just, everything looked bad. So finally he turned around and he saw me and I was so out of breath. I was like, hang on a second. And I couldn't catch my breath. And the next thing you know is this guy, he looks at me. I was like, hey, God just told me to run. And Deontay, also known as Fly Guy Jackson, began to share with me about who he was. A month later, our team got to know him a little bit more, and just about 3 weeks ago, Fly Guy calls me again, and he says, hey man, I need some help. I can't stop smoking pot. You see, when you run after people with the passion that Jesus has given you, people will want what you have. The question is, are people attracted to you because of who Christ is in your life? That's why we need revival, because when I look at the church today, I just want to shake them. If you have Christ in you, you should be alive. Amen. Alive. Like, yes, He's taken me from death to life. That is good news. We have it. And the scripture says, be careful of not becoming spiritually fat. Don't hold on to it, what you're supposed to give away. Do what your leadership is modeling and live it out. Philip runs to a man, and you guys know this story. The next thing you know, this guy is blown away. And he says yes to Jesus. I want to bring some pressure and relief pressure for you, though. Philip shared the gospel with one man, and it changed a country. You don't have to be a guy who stands on a podium and preach to the masses. If God tells you to run after one person, that could change a whole city. It could change a nation. Who knows what kind of an impact it could have in the world? And after all this story unfolded, Scripture says in verse 39, when they came up out of the water, Philip had just baptized the Ethiopian eunuch. It says the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. And the eunuch no longer saw him, but he went on his way rejoicing. In verse 40, but Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he kept preaching the gospel to all the cities until he came to Caesarea. Philip knew what God called him to do, and it was to preach Jesus. When in doubt, you don't know what your direction you're going, you don't know where to go, the best fallback plan is preach Jesus. Here's my call to action as you guys go forth. For the next 5 months, we are praying that the Lord would raise up folks to go share the gospel in Colombia. For the next 5 months, we're going to be doing this. We're going to be in one night, we're going to teach it and train it, and the next day, we're going to go out and do what we just did here. Folks, lives are changing, and I'm here to ask, we need laborers. If there's any group that can help set this city on fire for Christ, I'm willing to bet it could be CIU. Would you pray about it? Folks, we were at the mayor's prayer breakfast yesterday. 500 folks And I walk through the gospel with every one of them. And the cool part is one of the major political leaders in this community said he wants to turn his life back to Jesus. I believe God is doing something unique, and he's using folks like from the leadership to the students. And my plea is will you help us do this in your town while you're here? Thank you. Let me pray. So, Lord God, I just thank you for the Spirit of God stirring in this place today. And Lord, if the Spirit is asking us, based on the Word, to go help make disciples and share the gospel in this community, I pray, Lord, that you prompt people to do it. Lord, in Scripture it says we need to beseech you for more laborers. And Lord, I am beseeching you for more laborers because the harvest is so plentiful here. And may we do this as a collective effort, as the body of Christ. Bless each one here. Bring clarity to what has been said. And may you be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.